I think they like you, Steve.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Six ten. Hi, it's one day before Halloween. Halloween Eve. I don't know. Do you open your presents Halloween Eve or Halloween morning? I don't know. It's up to you. Show number 1251 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, Steve Cochran on Instagram, and FaceTime and Friendster. And
you're Steve Cochran Show on FaceTime?
Yeah, on FaceTime. Yeah, on FaceTime. 312-981-7200 is the number for texters. And not just texters, for phone calls as well. We'll get to all the news of the day. I had my Monday afternoon with Abigail yesterday, and we were walking the streets of Lincoln Square looking for Snow White, obviously.
Sure.
And we rounded a corner, and there was a mom carving about 47 pumpkins.
Oh.
And she couldn't have been nicer.
A street carver?
A street pumpkin carver. And I think Lincoln Square is known for that, isn't it? Yeah. And as we stopped, and Abigail, of course, did her standard greeting. I, Abigail, you know, and I'm starting to drop some of the other words you don't need as well. I, Steve.
She's not wrong.
Right. It saves time.
She's efficient.
But I looked at the pumpkins and I was thinking, it's been a long time since I carved a pumpkin.
Oh.
And I thought about you two with kids young enough to still be involved in this. Dave, it's been years since you and I have carved pumpkins together.
You know, this is the first year we didn't even buy a pumpkin.
We've always
bought one.
We didn't buy any either, and I have kids.
Well, it's good in your case because you spend a lot of money on your pumpkins.
We did. We carved our pumpkins last night.
Are you good? Are you artistic?
No, I'm in the doghouse because my wife and my son are creative, and they take very good care. And I am classic in the triangle eyes, triangle nose, and mouth with three teeth, two teeth when one gets cut off because I wasn't paying attention.
Right. So you go sort of psycho. You go sort of Alfred Hitchcock.
I go.
Just get it done as quickly as possible.
I go freehand. Mm. They're Googling. Let's just put it that way. They're looking. I mean, I'll show you a picture.
Miles's pumpkin is pretty impressive.
They're impressive. They're artistic, and mine looks terrible compared to theirs. But I always say, that's Halloween, All Hallows Eve, that's it.
Yeah, but can't you just say, I have no artistic talents with pumpkins?
Oh, I do. Yeah. And they go, that's a cop-out because you're just lazy.
Well, you can buy those kits now that help you do the entire thing. My daughter did a beautiful tree, and she is not artistic at all, and hers looks fantastic.
Well, see, that's their argument. Their argument is that the you're not artistic.
I'm guessing there was a lack of effort. There was a Bulls game on. You were probably...
It was
but there is a timepiece to this. Like, how much time are you going to put into it?
Yeah, who sticks their hand in the goo?
Yeah, man, my one question for Orion is, has agriculture caught up where we can do a gutless pumpkin?
What? Then it's not bad.
No, then you don't have the pumpkin seeds
to
roast.
Yeah, the seeds, don't you cook the seeds?
You can have that.
You don't like the pumpkin braid?
The pumpkin braid, the spaghetti, the everything inside. The
just rip it out, throw it out?
I don't eat it. Mm. You can, I mean, if you wanted them for roasting pumpkins, you get the gut-filled pumpkin, and I will choose, just like a diet cook and a cook, I would choose the gutless.
So you're looking for some sort of hybrid agricultural product,
which is just
the pumpkin shell.
Yes.
All you want is the shell.
Monsanto's not working on that?
I think the way pumpkins work, that would be physically impossible.
Well, it could be.
That's what they said about the genetically modified corn. And look what happened.
And see, I don't think they said exactly that, but you know. Dave, were you good at pumpkin carving?
I was okay. I was pretty good.
I tried to get creative once in a while, and I just, no.
I'm pretty, man.
Diamond eyes, couple of teeth.
Yeah, pretty classic. Triangles for eyes.
I'm guessing, Steve, that there was a lack of effort on your part.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely a lack of effort.
It seemed like that would be.
No, there's no question there was a lack of effort.
I do my own gooping. I mean, I still do have to do all that stuff.
I was a goop guy.
There's still a lot of effort.
I can guarantee you, though, like if Amy and Ross are here right now, I'd go, what special memories do you have of me carving pumpkins? I go, none. Absolutely none. Zero. I don't remember a thing. By the way, Miss Judgmental Pumpkin Lady over here, yes. I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago. This is long before Justin was born. When you spent $12,000 on two pumpkins and couldn't understand why we didn't.
I had bought some, Justin, I think, four pumpkins for about $100 at a fancy place by my house. Yeah. And a lot of
people... Did you get any beans to plant with that, Jack?
I know. My husband was really angry with me. And then a lot of people kept, you know, Mariano's has them for $3.99,
yeah,
you know.
I know that.
So then last year, I spent less, but I like the white pumpkins, so they cost more than the...
Trump.
I think it was last year we had the... we went to the Hard Rock Cafe in Chicago, the parking lot. They turned into a pumpkin patch.
Yeah, I think they're doing that again, aren't they?
They didn't, and it really bummed us out.
Oh, they didn't do it this year?
We used to go to Gobert's out in Barrington, and we've done...
Well, what's the Halloween thing they're doing? I just drove by it yesterday. They're doing some sort of Halloween thing out there.
I have to go back and look. Yeah. I mean, when we were looking to buy pumpkins, they were yet to be... So we went to the grocery store. We went to Whole Foods.
Our poor kids, I think they're getting screwed from both houses, because when I was talking to the kid's stepdad on Sunday at Patrick's game, I said, "Did you guys do pumpkins?" And he's like, "No, I guess maybe we should have done them today." And we didn't do any pumpkins, so they're not getting pumpkins on either side.
You know, I noticed in my neighborhood, there's a lot less pumpkin Halloween decorating this year.
There is, I think, so much more this year.
Maybe all my people moved north.
I got a lot, too.
Around Ryan Field in Wilmette, just north of Evanston, I was driving through there the other night. Every house is decked out. It's almost like... When you drive through, what's there? I think in Sauganash Christmas, the lights. It's just
weird. My neighborhood's got like three
Maybe
houses.
Really? People are you hiding come their up pumpkins there. From you.
Yeah, because I am the one that goes around and smashes them. Yeah. Well, it's funny, though, about the year you spent all the money on the pumpkins is you came in, you knew you had been ripped off.
I did.
You knew that you'd been ripped off, and yet you still were kind enough to confess so we'd have material.
I've been there. I've spent that much money.
By the way, Justin just showed me a picture of the three pumpkins.
We could put this on the Instagram.
That's not as bad as you claim it to be, because what it looks like is... Maybe Miles carved the first one, and then you and your wife carved the other two.
Miles did the one in the middle, and Julie did the one on the other one. She just is awesome. And then mine is like, well, okay, that's a pumpkin.
But the one Julie did had to take a week and a half.
Yeah, right. Minimal. It took her like 20 minutes.
I have an issue with the people, though, that do the tracings and things. Does that count as a real carved? You had assistance. It's not your own creation.
That's the Googling part where
it's freehand.
Nobody has to know.
Mary just said that, you know, she can go out, you can get kits for that kind of stuff.
Well, the kits, what are the kits? They have like cookie things?
I did not see it, but.
Because you got to have something to shape those holes, right? You can't do that freehand, can you? Right.
No, it's some sort of sketch or whatever, you know, tracing.
The best part was that Miles on the back side of the pumpkin, he carved in a butt.
Excellent.
That's the funniest thing in the world to an 11-year-old boy, isn't it?
It makes no sense to the pumpkin, but when you put the candle in the middle, it lights up back. It lights up a butt.
Nice. I said 11-year-old boy when I'm the one laughing and I'm 57.
If people want to people have started texting in their pumpkins. If they text in their pumpkins, I'm going to add them to a gallery on our website.
I'll send you things.
Can you say the text line number?
Sure, 312-981-7200. And... If you text in, please let us know if you've ever spent more than $12,000 on two white pumpkins. By the way, why are they white?
Because they look better with the house.
No, but I mean, is that a type of pumpkin, a strain of pumpkin?
Oh, I think it's called a white pumpkin.
Yeah,
they're
prettier.
I think it's a mutation.
See, they can do it for the color of the pumpkin, but why not the seedless?
Zombie pumpkins. Zombie Trump pumpkins.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Six things that you're going to be talking about today, you're going to be listening to other people talk about. That's the idea behind the top six at six. Item number one in Pittsburgh today, funerals begin for the 11 that were murdered by the insane racist shooter at the synagogue in Pittsburgh on Saturday. I mentioned this yesterday. Abby Polonsky, who's been a friend for 25 years, she grew up in Pittsburgh, and she and her family have been at that temple hundreds of times. And we were swapping texts last night briefly, and I just feel very, very bad for her and everybody that knows somebody who was there I don't know that she knew any of the people specifically, but she certainly knows that neighborhood, grew up in that neighborhood or on the edge of that neighborhood. And as I said, I've been to that synagogue many, many, many times. So the funerals begin today. There's an argument about whether or not Trump should go today. The mayor says no. The rabbi from that particular place says yes, because he's the president of the United States. There's some argument about whether or not he is interrupting the funerals, because a presidential visit is always a big deal. He's not going to make it better. I mean, that's just it. He's not going
to
make it better.
He's got to go, right? I mean, you're
we don't have to go today.
Yeah, maybe not today. But
that's the thing.
He's
right?
Got to go.
Next. Well, we talk about these shootings. Know this. Sunday was Chicago's second most violent day of the year. At least 26 were shot. This on the heels of a Wall Street Journal survey that shows Chicago the 20th most dangerous city in America. Not the first, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth. The 20th most dangerous in America, which just echoes the fact that we have some really awful, awful, awful situations, gang-related, on the west side of the city, where good people are just trying to live their lives, and they're subject to this every day. But we should not lose sight of the fact that these sort of shootings are going on every day in the city.
It has to be, and I don't understand. It did not come up at all. It didn't surface at all, violence in Chicago, when it came to the gubernatorial election.
They haven't talked about it.
The governor just act like Chicago is not a part of the state, and surprising because J.B. Pritzker is from here. And then you have a mayoral election, which is coming up right afterwards, which it has to be the number one issue for the city of Chicago. I want to hear from every mayoral candidate what they are going to do to make sure that we don't have 26 people shot on any given weekend.
Yeah, and if you want to be really callous about it, their concern ought to be the image of the city around the country and the amount of money it's costing.
The other national part.
Pick your reason.
Money. But I want to hear also, what's the number one? If the Wall Street Journal is doing the poll and there's a number one that is the most violent city, I want to see a tweet from the president that says, what's going on in...
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll give you these cities. Some surprising things in this USA Today Wall Street Journal piece, but I'll give you the number one city, the number two, three, four, five cities. I mean, there's some surprises in there. Next, civilian or a city council panel has rejected the plan to create a civilian police oversight board that could fire Chicago police and leave that in the hands of the mayor and the police department itself. Next, Carson's going to reopen in Evergreen Park or Evergreen Park store for Black Friday, marking the return of the department store's bricks and mortar presence after it shut them all down in bankruptcy in August. I had forgotten Carson's was closed and went to the mall near me, and I couldn't believe how good the parking was. It was like, there's cars all over the place.
You were in need of a rayon shirt, and you're like, I need to get this rayon shirt. I'll just go to Carson's.
I didn't know. I thought, this is unbelievable. Why aren't people parking over here? And I'm walking 3.5 miles to the other door that was actually open because Carson's didn't exist anymore.
Like Chevy Chase when he goes to Wally World. Hey, man, we're sitting back in the
room. I mentioned we went to the one at Eden's Plaza, which was closing, and this is probably a couple months ago, and every fixture in the place was, the mannequins were for sale, the light
Mary
fixtures
were for
sale. Mary
wanted you to grab her a mannequin.
She did.
Yeah, I needed one.
We bought a dog bed and a yoga mat. Very cheap.
There you go.
Sounds like a setup for a joke, doesn't it?
What again did you need a mannequin for, Mary? I can't remember that.
Yeah, I know.
For my craft fair.
Okay. Okay, well, you keep that
scarves,
story up. Yeah. Next. Midterm election cycles already set several records for women. The number of women running for Congress, the number of women to win primaries, and the number of candidates of color, but women are struggling to raise as much campaign money, particularly if they're Republican, challenging incumbents or running in places where the opposing party has a big advantage. Female candidates falling far behind in fundraising. Next, let me go live to Mary Vandeveld on this. She's been comforting grocery store Joe throughout the night. Did he get kicked off the show on Dancing with Stars?
No, he didn't. It proves you can drop somebody and not get kicked off.
He didn't drop her.
Almost.
He didn't drop Jenna, but it was a tough, weird lift thing they did, and yeah, he almost did.
Oh, I saw the headline. I thought it meant he got another dancer. You mean literally dropping her?
Yeah. Yeah, he did a lift, and then she was supposed to flip over in front of him, and she kind of landed like a crab position. It was weird.
This guy can't do a lift. What's he going to do with your groceries?
I don't know. Well, I don't.
He's bagging the groceries.
He doesn't want to be there anymore anyway, and they keep voting him in because he's so darn cute, and everybody just loves him, but they got rid of Mary Lou last night.
This, by the way, was after she announced she was divorcing her husband of 27 years.
I couldn't believe
she
announced
on the show?
Yes. Well, in the little piece, you know, oh, they have a little piece.
I thought she was like winded, like her dance was over. She's like, thank you.
That's
I'm
a good
divorcing
run.
My husband.
37 years.
20, yeah. No, 27.
Oh, 27. Oh.
Not so good.
Yeah. And then
27.
Also,
you could have tried to get to 37. Come on, Mary Lou.
Another couple announced that they're, you know, a thing, sort of.
Well, that's that.
Alexis and
yeah,
Alan.
This to me says that Dancing with the Stars has realized what the rest of us already know. They're out of people. They're just out of people.
Nobody knows who they are.
Now they've got background drama and everything. You got Mary Lou Retton announcing she's getting a divorce. You got this supermodel Alexis Wren announcing she has feelings for her professional partner. By the way, that dude, you ain't getting any better than that, pal.
Oh, if,
yeah, whatever the guy's name is. If the supermodel girl says she's hot for you and you're going, I'll get back to you, kick him off this show right now.
I was like, get with the program, Alan. But, you know, Bobby Bones is still in, too. And he is.
There's a lot of attitude on that.
Right. Well, the guy just does flips all over the set. He's just constantly flipping. I'm like, what is he doing?
Ruining it.
Got
for
too
radio
much energy,
again,
and he has no
usual.
Sleep because he gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning. By the way, to do his show.
Oh yeah, it sounds earlier than us. He's such a talent. It's 6:30. Let's come back to the headlines next at 7:20. WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I don't want to give Bobby Bones a hard time. He's a decent talent, and I'm sure he's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
He may not be a nice guy either. I don't know, but I don't know him. Who am I to give him a hard time?
Just not the best dancer, but, you know. Oh, well.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That is a bunch of great kids. That, I mean, you know, just makes you feel good when you hear all those great kids assembled like that. And we need to know about yours. Send us your Kid of the Week information about a kid that, you know, maybe one of your own. One of your own and operated kids. Kid in your neighborhood, kid you've heard about, maybe a kid you've read about, kid you've seen online that you think we ought to know about. All of those apply. Sandberg, what do I have to do? Let me write this down. What do you have to do?
Go to WGMradio.com/contest. Click on the Kid of the Week, link. And it takes 2 minutes to fill it out.
Keep those submissions coming, and we'll keep talking about Kids of the Week. Oh, speaking of your internets, what did you want to mention?
I want people to submit their pumpkin carving because I posted Justin's picture of his family pumpkins because his family gave him a hard time because he just mailed it in.
I did not mail it in. I think I'm defending you.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
I think his pumpkin in an average family of average artistic talent would have been a leading pumpkin.
It would have been a C+.
It's
the fact that his wife and son are very artistic.
They put a lot of work in. They're good with the pumpkin carver.
I don't know if Vincent Van Gogh's family treated the family member this way when they carve pumpkins.
Anyway, so
I have to come to work every day and be quippy. You know, they don't have to do that. See, it's a trade-off. I come home and I try to be standard. They get to be quippy with their pumpkins.
Yeah, I don't think you should be art mocked.
Right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, there is a gallery now at WGNradio.com of people and their pumpkins, including Justin's.
Well, it's pumpkin shaming is what it is. Yeah. It's modern-day pumpkin shaming.
So I would like people to text in their pictures of their pumpkins. It could be carved or painted. Or you can contact us on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page.
That's a big trend, the painted pumpkin. I've seen that everywhere. I even suggested that to say that could get rid of the goop, and it also could show your artistic talent. I was shut down.
Did you have a rubber glove on when you went in to get the goop?
I did not. I went bare hand.
It's a man's way to do it.
There's also a trick, too. If you put your pumpkins out on the porch, you can spray You can go to the hardware store, and there's a spray that you can spray to keep the squirrels.
Yeah, we do that. Tabasco.
Otherwise,
my wife mixed it last year. It was Tabasco, and
we couldn't find. Else. This is so hot. We couldn't find a spray. You have to do that.
What kind of squirrels do you have that are attacking
your
pumpkins?
Because they attack pumpkins. Now, we didn't have any Tabasco. We didn't have the spray can. We couldn't find it last time. So Julie just sprinkled chili powders on the. Pumpkins. I don't know if it'll work or not. I think it'll just make it tasty.
I saw a squirrel dragging a pumpkin down the street the other day.
These are city and north side pumpkins and north suburb pumpkins. Yeah, they're squirrels, I should say. Gangland squirrels. These are gangland squirrels.
They're as big as raccoons.
They do not shoo when you shoo.
I got 1,000 squirrels around my house. They don't steal pumpkins.
No, they eat pumpkins.
You took my wallet pumpkins. Once.
Yeah.
So you can't even.
No, Maureen put out pumpkins. I didn't put pumpkins out. I think I live there. All right. So,
submit the pictures of your pumpkins, carved or painted, to the text line, which is
312-981-7200.
Or you can put it at the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page, and I'm going to post it on our gallery on WGNRadio.com.
It's a no shame gallery.
Yeah, it's a no shame gallery. I like how Justin, though, says he suggested at home that we paint and was shot down. He always thinks he has a say in what things go on in his household.
That's a fair point.
And he doesn't.
That's a fair point.
The wife is in charge. There you go. The wife is in charge. Then Miles is second in line. And then comes Justin.
Yeah, it's actually true.
I do the dishes. take out the garbage.
312-981-7200 is the number. All right, let's do this. I want to give you the really surprising national statistics on the most dangerous cities in America. Chicago, 21st. It's not a survey commissioned by Rahm Emanuel. It's the Wall Street Journal and USA Today and other partners.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I like this. What is it?
Marimba?
Cast a Stomp coming into the studio this morning. It sounds like you're playing some of the garbage cans. I like
this. Cowbell
vibe. Yeah, it's just something I found on Spotify.
Good, I like it. Yeah. I like it. Keep it. Get rid of some of the other crap. Keep that one. 6:52. And John DeCosta will join us live on Friday, but he's on the phone right now. Good morning, John.
Hey, I don't care how you say it. I need more cowbell.
Thank you very much. That's not bad. I didn't even know you did the voice. Well done.
I never did that one. I think it's pretty bad.
That's not bad.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, John. Good
morning.
All right. We want to do a quick plug for something coming up. What's the something coming up?
Well, this Saturday, we have the 30th anniversary for the Assisi Foundation. It's the only non-kill shelter in Crystal Lake. I will be there performing. Do we have someone else on the line?
Yeah, Lee's with us. Let me go to Lee on this. What do you do at the shelter, Lee?
Well, we're the first no-kill shelter up here in this neck of the woods. There are other shelters, some fine ones operating, but we beat them. We're here first.
Well, good for you.
We're celebrating our 30th on Saturday.
Good. And at this, is it a gala? Can I call it a gala?
You certainly can. Wonderful dinner, dancing, dining, a silent auction.
Amazing
auction.
Entertainment, Lee, from what I understand.
Yeah. John DeCosta.
Yep, John DeCosta.
Yeah, by the way, Lee, I don't know if you know this. John DeCosta never takes his tuxedo off. He sleeps in it.
Oh, I heard. Yeah. I'm anxious to see that.
Make him do the Christopher Walken.
He's gonna open with 20 minutes of Christopher Walken, and then he'll move on.
More cowbell.
All right, so Lee, how can people help you? How can they get tickets?
Well, they can certainly get to us. We still have a few tickets left at 815-455-9411. Come on down, join the fun, and know that you're helping animals.
Well, you're a good person for doing that. And, John, see you Friday.
I know. No, but thanks so much. We're going to have a great time on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
I have no doubt. Thank you, Don, and thank you, Lee.
All right, bye-bye.
Don, who's Don? Thank you, John. Thank you. you know, I get up early. I mentioned this 25 most dangerous cities in America. I'm going to fly through these pretty quick, but it's sort of amazing when you look at this breakdown. Highly vetted survey of the 25 most dangerous cities in America. Mm-hmm. And Chicago's 21st. I said 20th, 21st. Here you go. Beaumont, Texas, followed by Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hartford, Connecticut at 23. Houston at 22. Chicago at 21.
Houston, Chicago are similar in population.
Yep.
And so there you go, 22 and 21. They're right next to each other.
Yeah, and I should say that these are adjusted for population because otherwise you couldn't call it the most dangerous cities in America.
It's a percentage, so it's per, every murder per...
well, you call it per capita. It's per 100,000. Yeah, it's per 100,000. It's based on this. Yeah. Violent crime rate per 100,000, total number of homicides, poverty rate, and unemployment rate. Hmm. Those are the numbers.
Sprinkle in some unemployment rate.
Here are the cities deemed to be more dangerous than Chicago. Minneapolis, Minnesota. New Orleans, Louisiana. Lansing, Michigan. Nashville, Tennessee. Anchorage, Alaska. San Bernardino, California. Oakland, California. Indianapolis. Springfield, Missouri. And Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's 20 through 11. If you had told me that Minneapolis was more dangerous than Chicago, I'd say you're out of your mind.
Yeah, Nashville, too.
Just in general. The top 10... Stockton, California, Cleveland, Ohio, Rockford, Illinois at number 8.
Yeah.
Hmm. Milwaukee at number 7. I didn't even know Milwaukee had a crime problem.
It does.
Apparently. Number 6 is Little Rock, Arkansas. Number 5, Kansas City, Missouri. You know, again, this is violent crime rate, homicides, poverty rate, and unemployment rate. Stand by for this because I just clicked it through.
More of the top 5 coming up. Would you like to know the top 5?
After the break. You know what I'd like to know? Is what number 4 is. Number 5 is Kansas City, Missouri. I'm surprising myself here because I'm waiting to actually tell you as I find out. Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
At number 4. Anybody been to Memphis recently?
No.
I have not.
It's a beautiful city. Parts of it anyway. Like
not since
most big cities.
1983.
That's the last time you were there?
I think so.
Okay. What were you doing there in 83, Mayor?
I was there for the Liberty Bowl. U of I was there. Yes, I was at the Marching Illini.
They'll get back to a bowl someday. Don't you worry.
Okay.
Number 3, Baltimore, Maryland. And Baltimore, I lived in Baltimore for a couple of years. Baltimore has become a very dangerous city. And there's been some national crime problems that have been exposed there. Detroit, Michigan, number 2. Even though Detroit has had a significant turnaround, there's still a lot of problems there. I remember in 1999, 19 years ago, visiting a sponsor there. I didn't know this. Detroit, at one point, was the potato chip capital of America. Like, all the potato chip companies were there. And one company had remained. And we went to visit the sponsor of this company to do a piece and pull in razor wire fencing around the facility because it was the only way you could keep it from being vandalized or worse. Hmm. So I certainly hope he is still in business, and I certainly hope that the rest of the city comes back because Detroit's got a nice story going on. Number 1, what do you think the most dangerous city in America is?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
St. Louis, Missouri.
That's exactly right.
Say St. Louis.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Live there, too. And it has changed for the worse. St. Louis, Missouri, with a violent crime rate of over 2,000 incidents per 100,000 people, 205 homicides in 2017. That's a lot for a town that size. Poverty rate, 26.7%.
What is what will you get in Chicago? 500, 600 a year is what you'll get, like actual murders? You'll get a lot more people shot, but what's the number for?
Usually it's that 500 to 600 number.
Yeah, so that's interesting. We are double, triple the size of St. Louis.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, again, to be fair to these cities, a lot of this is neighborhood located as opposed to spread out across the city. So when you see, when you have people around the country go, oh, my God, how do you walk down Michigan Avenue without being shot? You have to tell them the true story of the city and then pull for the people who are trying to live
their lives. Frustrated when we're doing this because you get the president saying, what's going on in Chicago?
Yeah.
Where you don't hear him, you don't see the tweets. What's going on in St. Louis?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all politics. So,
you know, the thing is, too, and I'm glad you're sharing this stuff, Steve, is nobody hears beyond Chicago. They don't listen to stories like these. I don't know why that is. I guess it's the aversion to facts these days, but it's important to understand the facts.
There really is a fact allergy in this country. It's a minute before 7. Lots to talk about still. That's why we're doing a show. It's not like we're normally up at this hour. We'll come back, get the news in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve Grzanich is standing by next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Well, I got me a fine wife, got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo-hoo! Well, it's a very special before-school edition of Orion Samuelson. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning to you, and hope you're having a good day.
This is early for a lot of people, certainly not early for you. When was the last time you slept till noon?
I can't remember.
Of course you can't.
Because for about 40 years, I was up at 2:45 every morning. As I've said so many times, I was the kid who, until I was 18, was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to milk cows on the dairy farm in Wisconsin. And then I decided to find something easier to do, like broadcasting, and ended up getting up at 2:45 every morning to do a program for people who were getting up at 5 o'clock to milk cows.
Yeah, and were you ever farm-shamed? Like all the people that you knew growing up that were running family farms, they go, oh, yeah, okay, you got it rough, Orion. You sit in a microphone, you talk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of talk. And it's true. I mean, it's a lot easier to talk about it than to do it.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. You know what, Orion, there's too much talk now. Not you and I, but everybody else. There's too much talk in this country.
I agree with you. And uncivil. I did my Samuelson Says last week on the death of civility and respect in the United States.
Civility, respect, and common sense.
Well, that one came out long ago. Matter of fact, about 20 years ago, someone wrote an article, The Death of Common Sense in the United States. And so I just took that and said, time to change the title and talk about the death of respect and civility in the United States.
Yeah, that phrase, you can disagree, but you can do it while being agreeable or whatever that cliche is. It's just words because nobody's doing it anymore.
Nobody is. And, of course, I learned a long time ago two things you do not discuss with family or friends, religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
And that saves a lot of hard feelings for families.
Those two, by the way, never used to be discussed together as one.
True.
And now it's a one-off. All right, I got a couple of things to hit you with. The Farm Bill. First off, the Farm Bill. Explain to people, A, why this is important, and B, where we are.
Well, okay, September 30th was the deadline to complete the Farm Bill. That's a five-year program that we put together. And when we don't get it done by September 30th, we are supposed to go back to 1948 and follow the rules of the Farm Bill in 1948. Well, that isn't practical at all anymore because of the changes we've seen in economics and in the way we do business. But it's important because it outlines the rules that we follow on crop insurance, on conservation, and it also puts in writing the rules on the technology that we use. And we need that bill. And, of course, with crop insurance, that is supposed to cover what we used to call disaster payments, because if we'd have a tornado, a hurricane, or a flood, we'd go to Congress and we'd say, okay, we've got to help these people because they're hurting badly. And so Congress would then appropriate funds to be distributed to the people impacted by the tornado or by the flood or that. And then we put in crop insurance, where farmers buy farm insurance. Government helps them on the premium cost, but not totally. And that's an important part of the Farm Bill, probably considered to be the most important part now, I think, by farmers and ranchers. And so what we have done now with the September 30th deadline come and gone, we're doing an extension. We're not going back to the rules of 1948. We're hoping that we'll get it all worked out and get it in place for the next 5 years. But one of the reasons we haven't gotten it done is, and a lot of farmers ask about this, why should the Department of Agriculture pay for food programs and nutrition programs for people not involved in farming? Well, there's a reason, because there are not enough congressmen, senators representing farm constituents to get a farm bill if you don't get a vote of urban congressmen.
Right, you got to make deals.
It's part of the dealing process that we go through, not only with agriculture, but a lot of other government programs that we have. And so we need that in the program to get those votes. But again, the sticking point is the nutrition program. It used to be called the food stamp program. It's now called SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And there is an attempt to write into the bill this year that people between the ages of 18 and 59.
This is the able-bodied thing that they're talking
able-bodied
about?
Able-bodied thing.
Yeah.
18 to 59 and able-bodied with no major incidents in the family that they're part of, that they have to qualify for the SNAP program by getting a job, proving that they're looking for a job. And of course, as we look at the employment numbers these days, we know that there are jobs available.
Well, it seems like a fair thing.
Yeah, but people are fighting it. And some of the urban congressmen are saying, oh no, we shouldn't put that kind of a limitation on getting food to people. Well, I keep going back to the fact that I got an email from a longtime friend who asked me the question, do you remember when anything in America was not free, you know, and or was free? And no, I grew up and I can't remember things that were free from the government in America.
Well, so, you know, but it shouldn't be an old-fashioned notion that if you're able-bodied, you should try to get a job. I mean, that's not a revolutionary thought. That's just...
Well, it's like- not. And in the long run, it'll help the person involved because it will put them into a job that pays money and restores self-confidence and respect.
No question.
And everything else.
I think some of the pushback, though, has to do with that it's it's just about the full sheer number of it. Because a lot of people who are on food stamps or on SNAP already have jobs. And it's just not enough. That's where we're seeing a difference between the unemployment rate and wage growth. So there seems to be, why does the government want to get into this business when the numbers don't necessarily reflect it? Is it just ideology and politics?
Well, I think it's a rule, and frankly, I think it makes sense. If they have a job, fine. But a lot of people who apply for the SNAP program who don't have jobs and aren't looking for jobs because they're able to get, you know, the food through the program. So I think it's something that we have to put into place in this Farm Bill and future Farm Bills.
Peggy's on the phone. Let me grab this quickly here before we run out of time. Good morning, Peggy.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for putting me on. I just wanted to mention something quickly that I'm sure Orion's aware of this with his vast knowledge, but the average person might want to learn more about the Farm Bill because our pet animals can be affected by that, because you'll always hear stories about puppy mills and puppies that were purchased in pet stores. Where they come from, they come from USDA breeders. That's not always a good thing. And Steve King from Iowa had put some language in there that was a bit concerning to animal advocates. It just might be something for folks to be aware of and to look at.
Well, there's your Google assignment for the day. Thank you, Peggy. And, I have to ask you the main question on everybody's mind today. Is Illinois still number one for pumpkins?
Way far away number one for pumpkins, yes. The second place state, and I forget now who it is, but not even close.
All right, so we're kicking pumpkin tail.
Justin was telling us that he thinks the pumpkin pie is our state pie. Is that true?
Yeah. I've not heard that.
Yeah, it is.
I've never
also
heard state pie does a
question. I didn't even know we had a
question,
state pie.
I have a question for you, Orion.
I would say it'd be pizza.
Where are we on the gutless pumpkin? Is there any way to genetically modify to get rid of the insides of a pumpkin to easily carve?
Justin doesn't like touching the pumpkin guts. He wants a gutless pumpkin, which I try to explain to him is a pumpkin shell.
That's right. Is it too hard to clean it out? Are you saying that?
I'm looking to America's farmers and the farm industry to come up with this. They did it for watermelons. It's a seedless watermelon. Why not a gutless pumpkin?
But it's not a watermelon-free watermelon. It's not just the rind.
Here we go. Governor Bruce Rauner signed a bill on Friday, August 14th, 2015. Yep. Pumpkin became Illinois' official state pie.
And that was controversial at the time because there was no budget. And you're like, why are we talking about what the state pie is when there's no butter.
Again, it should be pizza.
And the apple pie people got really mad.
We'll continue to solve these world problems. We thank you, as always.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity, and I'm working on them.
All right. You have a great day. The pumpkin shell coming soon.
Gutless pumpkin.
722, the most valuable person on the planet on the way. It is 7:26. In the worst of times, the best of people step up. And the majority of this country is still the best of people. And it always does your heart good to see when religious borders are crossed and walls come down. And you see what people are really made of. Today's most valuable person on the planet is Celebrate Mercy director, Tariq El-Masidi, who joins me now. Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. Tell me what Celebrate Mercy does before we get to the story part of this.
So Celebrate Mercy is a nonprofit organization. It's about 8 years old, and we do, it's a Muslim-led organization that hosts educational programs about the Prophet Muhammad's life story and legacy and character. But we also organize campaigns that aim to embody his character, like through action.
And in the process of taking care of this organization, I'm sure you've been subject to misconceptions and generalizations and all the things that have made it tougher to live now than it has in the past. That's why I'm so glad.
Of course.
That's why I'm so glad to tell people what you're doing for the people of Pittsburgh, and specifically that synagogue that that madman came in and killed 11. You did a crowdfunding goal. You started with a goal of $25,000. Where are you at now?
So, yes, we started with a goal of $25,000, and we hit that goal in just 6 hours. We kept increasing the goal to $50,000, $75,000, $100,000, $125,000, and then finally $150,000. We literally started that campaign on Saturday afternoon, and by the time I went to bed on Sunday night, we had already hit $100,000.
So you're going to have to raise it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think we capped it at $150,000, but people are still donating online.
Oh, great.
You know, even though I think we've gotten an average of $1,000 every 20 minutes. It's been overwhelming and viral. And what's really inspired us, the campaign is called Muslims United for Pittsburgh Synagogue. It's mostly Muslim donors, but what's really amazing is that it's expanded now to beyond only Muslims. Like we estimate that about one third of the people who are donating online are not even Muslim. Many of them are Jewish Americans and people of other faiths or even no faith are giving. So it's become kind of an interfaith fundraiser.
There's a quote attributed to you and that was sent to me, and it just sums it up so beautifully. It says, "We wish to respond to evil with good, as our Islamic faith teaches us, to send a powerful message of compassion to the Jewish community, our Abrahamic cousins." So for all of us who assume that Muslims and Jews can never get along and, we've got it all figured out, this is the truth of the story. The truth of the story is it doesn't matter if you're Muslim or Jewish or Christian or non-denominational or agnostic or atheist. If your head is in the right place and your heart is in the right place, you're going to do what's right. And I'm proud of you guys for stepping up like this.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, what's most sacred is, our shared humanity. And there's one particular story that inspired this campaign. There was a time when, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was sitting, on the ground with some of his disciples, and he noticed a Jewish funeral passing by, a Jewish funeral procession. He immediately stood up to pay his respects when he saw that funeral, and his disciples responded, it's not a Muslim, it's only a Jewish funeral, like, why are you standing up? And his response was so beautiful. He said, "Is it not a human soul? Is it not a right. human soul?" So that's, I remember that story when I saw, the footage, right after the attack, and the police and some of the news that I saw from Pittsburgh, made me sick to my stomach. But I remembered that despite our different religions, our different, political views, what's most sacred is that we're all human beings. We have to be there for one another. And that's why we wanted to reach out and help.
It's not the first time Celebrate Mercy has done this, organizing, amongst other things, and mobilizing Muslims to repair vandalized Jewish cemeteries in the St. Louis area in particular. 501-3C doing great work every day. And Tarek El Masidi, thank you very much for coming on and talking about it. And you are the most valuable person on the planet, my friend.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, hold the line if you would. We'll come back with the headlines in just a second. Right? That's the good news. That's the stuff. We'll get to the bad news in a moment. The headlines are next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Talk about disruptive technologies, the Uberization of the planet. Well, what about air? What about up there? What's going to happen the next time you get it on an airplane? And what's going to happen 10 years from now when you get it on an airplane? Is it all going to be different? Eventually, you won't have to fly. It'll just be an app on your phone.
Yeah.
I need to be in Cleveland. Let me click.
It's also amazing, too, is that scientists say that in 25 years, 20, 25 years, you're going to have a quarter of the Earth's population in big cities. And if you think about that, cities like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, even, you know, big cities around the world, you think about their transportation options. And I think about Chicago, and I think about the L, and I think about what we're doing with bus and rapid transportation.
Right.
Are we on par with the rest of the world, but are we being innovative enough to think about what might happen in 25 years when there is a surge in population? Because I don't know about you, but when you're on the 20 bus, there's not a lot of space right now. If you have a population surge, I'm not really sure how that's going to handle
it. It's a major issue.
It's a major issue. And tonight, 1871, the great tech hub here in Chicago is hosting a big conversation with a couple of people who do this for a living, from ANA Airlines, ANA Avatar. Two of the co-directors of their digital design lab are going to be part of a conversation about disruptive technologies and the future of transportation.
Boy, it'd be great if they were here.
It would be great if they were here.
Yes.
Luckily, that conversation is going to happen with appetizers and cocktails.
Oh, and there you go.
Depending on the amount of cocktails, there could really be some good ideas coming out of this tonight.
Akira Fukubori and Kevin Kajitani are in studio.
Welcome.
From ANA Avatar. Oh, thanks,
guys.
Thanks
for having us.
Yeah. All right, so you guys deal with this every single day. How do you reinvent something that seems like I get on a plane and I go there and it lands and I get frustrated?
Yeah, well, you know,
lean right into that microphone for me, if you would, please.
Yeah, thanks. No problem. What you're just mentioning about being able to click somewhere with an app, that's actually the future that we envision. It's not about getting on an airplane. An airplane is just a tool. You know, as an airline, our goal has always been to connect people, but now we'll be able to connect people through physical, real-world avatars. And typically when you think, you know, hear the word avatar, people think these digital virtual mm-hmm. characters that you create online, but we're talking about physical systems that you essentially teleport your senses into that system, and you're able to be somewhere that's far away.
Now, obviously, that sounds very science fiction for people to think about avatars, and the right away your brain goes to, how am I physically going to be able to do that? But a lot of travel and a lot of infrastructure really is about the process of traveling, not just the physical boarding of travel.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of technology that's already kind of accelerating in the fields of virtual reality and augmented reality and things like that, with haptic glove systems, full-body haptics, head-mount displays, things like that. But instead of using that technology to teleport yourself into a virtual world, you can just sync that with a physical system. You can imagine a robot, and now you see what the robot sees, you feel what the robot feels, and you're able to teleport your skills and your consciousness and your presence.
So you don't have to actually go anywhere. You stay on your couch, right?
Exactly.
Akira, are we talking about in my lifetime? And
yes,
keep in mind,
yes.
I'm old.
Yes, we are already doing the tests, and last week, some of the elderly avatar-in, we call it logged-in avatar-in, but avatar-in from like far away, and they logged into the department store, the avatar we placed, and they were having fun doing shopping, and they walk around, and you can... It's fun.
So sure. You see a future where we don't necessarily have to physically travel, that you'd be able to do the travel without the physical.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of people who cannot travel for some medical reason or some physical reason that they can't ride an airplane. And we don't think that they should be excluded from being able to travel.
But with the sensory experience, I mean, you know, you get off a plane in L.A., mm-hmm. you feel like you're in L.A. There's certain things about L.A. It's not just the cliched traffic. There's certain smells to places. There's certain, obviously, there's scenery that's specific to a location. Is that the type of AI you're talking about, that we would experience those things?
Eventually.
Scratch and sniff apps?
Well, I think eventually, this is actually starting to get into science fiction a little bit, but eventually when we get into, you know, brain-machine interface, we're really connecting directly with the brain. That's when you really get the full sensory experience with smells and tastes and things like that. But that's a little bit too far out for what we're trying to do. We're trying to create things immediately. I mean, we're launching our initial avatar services from next April.
I'm available.
are more basic, you know, telepresence type.
It makes sense if you think about if you're going to have a surge in population in big cities. And I think about Chicago, but I also think about Tokyo and other places where it may be the answer may not be building these infrastructure systems like a train or a bus or whatever, but it may be thinking about how people can work remote, how they can work from home so they don't add to the commute.
That's actually a great point. And in Japan, we have that problem with Tokyo. I mean, we have a declining population, and the rural areas of Japan are losing population real fast. And there's this huge surge to the big cities. But in the future, with avatars, you can live where you want and work where you want.
Do you see this being driven by private companies like ANA or other tech companies where they're disrupting the world we live in? Or will this be something that's adapted by the public sector, by the governments, by, you know, it'll become a budget item that we have to have Congress and other places you know, have to approve, as opposed to just be a private?
Well, it's got
to
be both. Isn't it public private? It's the only way to pay for it.
Exactly. It'll be both.
Exactly. Yeah.
Otherwise, you guys pay for it, right?
Yeah.
More with the future of air and ANA Airways and the big the deal tonight with 1871. Is public invited to this?
Yep, it's open to the public.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's at 5:30. It's at the auditorium at the 1871 at Merchandise Mart. It's called Disruptive Technologies in the Future of Transportation. You get tickets. You can find it online. But, of course, in studio with us, we have Akira Fukubori and Kevin Cagetani.
Let's take a break. Come back and talk more. Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kevin Cagetani and Akira Fukubori are both here from ANA Airways, co-directors of the Digital Design Lab, and they're figuring out the future so you don't have to. Justin?
You know, you're going to be here with 1871. Chicago is one of these towns that has been allotted for transportation for years. We have a mass transit system that is second to none. A lot of the big cities, including New York, will look to Chicago for what we've done to almost be forward in our thinking. When I think about transportation in the future, does it take the same sort of foresight? Meaning, you know, that was something they did in the early 20th century, to think now that we're using that 100 years later and using it in an efficient manner. When we think about transportation, does someone right now, like you guys or government, do they have to start thinking about what we're going to be doing 100 years from now?
Well, I think that's an interesting point. I think one of the big bottlenecks with innovating in transportation is the infrastructure, right? I mean, it's not easy to build infrastructure. It's not easy to change it. And that's why we're getting rid of that from the equation altogether. You no longer need infrastructure. The infrastructure becomes the internet, which is becoming ubiquitous around the world. And as long as you have a great access, you know, great connection to the internet, you'll be able to go anywhere.
I was going to say, using the internet for good and not evil includes taking Tokyo. You talked about the diminishing population in the suburbs, but Tokyo itself has, like Chicago, like Los Angeles, like New York, tremendous traffic problems. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not above, that's not in the air, but that's on the ground. Are there colleagues of yours in the AI industry who are fixing the traffic issues?
Yeah, and I think that's...
Because it's not just Uber. It's not just, you know, ride sharing. There's got to be other things that could be done.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, if you survey the people living in Tokyo, I'd say over half of them would say they live there out of necessity, not because they want to live there. And so when you really give people the option to live where they want to live, then maybe we don't need all these AI systems.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
We're seeing a difference in Chicago. We're talking about McDonald's. McDonald's was in Oak Brook, which was a western suburb. They moved downtown to Chicago. There was just a study that came out that there's such a massive shift in the way that they commute. You're seeing more people coming into the city by train, where when they were in Oak Brook, everyone was driving. It's a 90% change. When things like that happen, when maybe we decide as a world that what you're talking about, using virtual reality and AI to be in a place where we're not physically there, there are consequences, meaning we see in the McDonald's, who's, are we putting more trains on for the people that are coming downtown, or things are changing. And so when you think about your technologies, are you thinking about what the unintended consequences might be to a world in which we don't commute, that we just all live in a virtual world?
Of course. I mean, that's, we were always talking about the ethical issues and how to leverage this technology for good. But one of the big important issues is this is not Ready Player One, where you're in a virtual world. You are one-to-one in a real situation. If you're in Tokyo, you're, you know, we log in from Chicago, and you'll actually be existing in Tokyo. It's not AI. It's you. It's, you're controlling it. You're moving. You're shaking hands. You're buying things.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing to me, because are you limited? Is your creativity limited by the technology that we're at now, or does it spur the technology to get better?
I think it's a little bit of both. Right now, there's a big need to boost technology, which is why, as part of our Avatar initiative, we not only design but also are the sponsor of the ANA Avatar X Prize, which is a four-year, $10 million competition to spur.
Yeah, I would finish second
in this field. Yeah,
I was second this year. What's the? Go ahead.
I was just, what other companies? ANA is a travel. You know, is there other companies that are working on this type of project that are outside of travel?
That's an interesting question. I think a lot of companies in robotics and things like that, of course, are working in similar fields. What we're trying to do is, just like we purchase aircraft and we make services out of it, right? We're trying to take this new technology, which we see is emerging, try to help pioneer it a little bit, and then create services around that new technology.
My greatest concern for both of you, and Akira, is, we talked about this a little bit when you walked in, is you've had no fun since you got to town. All you've done is work. This is work as well. You're going to go out to a nice Chicago restaurant, Akira? What are you going to do for a good time?
Yeah, we hope we have time for that. But
what they're going to do is they're going to telecommute into New York and go to a restaurant in New York while they're in Chicago. No.
Akira always says that we need Avatar right now, actually.
Right.
But the fun part of the Avatar is if you place one Avatar in a remote village, that village will have access to every doctors or teachers or engineers around the world. So we can share our human resources to really challenge remaining global challenge.
You know, that's the thing. I don't want to get too idealistic, but I count on the two of you to beat down the bad in politics, because politics and the grab for power has gotten so over the top. I almost feel like the technological side of this, you know, we're all afraid of it to some degree, but what you guys are developing and what your colleagues are developing could help save us from the rest. No pressure at all. We're going to need you to get that done by tonight.
Okay, so ANA and 1871 present Disruptive Technologies and Future Transportation. It's tonight, 5:30 to 8:30 at the 1871 space over at the Merchandise Mart in downtown Chicago. As Mary said, there will be cocktails and appetizers to talk about the future of how we see transportation. I want to thank Kevin Kajitani and, of course, Akira Fukubori for coming in. They are the co-directors of the Digital Design Lab at ANA Avatar. Guys, thank you so much
for
talking about this.
Appreciate
and we look numbers. Forward to
no,
your
thanks
work.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for doing this work, because honestly, we couldn't. It's the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve Grzanich will give you those news stories next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, or kiss me good.
Live to Channel 9, it's Moron Entertainment. Soon to be a major Broadway production.
NPR wanted us.
Moron on Ice. That's another thing we're working on. A lot of offshoots of this.
Good. special guest Minnie Mouse.
I was hanging out with my granddaughter yesterday, because I'm blessed that way. And she said, she looked at me with those beautiful eyes, and, you know, at 2 3/4, not 2 1/2, 2 3/4. She looked at me and she said, "Pops, why is Dean shooting an apple off of Dave Schwann's head?" And I said, "Stop listening to the show, one. And two, we don't know. We really don't know. Is there any update on that story?"
No, I'm trying to ascertain where I would get a bow and arrow.
Now, when you say ascertain, the first syllable is the most important part of that word, isn't it?
Well, with regard to this, it is, yes.
All right, well, good luck to that. And if anybody has a bow and arrow and they'd like Dean to use it, don't worry about tuning it up. Just
I can go and buy one, but...
Yeah, you get the good ones. They're kind of expensive.
Yeah. And plus, I'm planning on doing it, leaving the tags on, returning it when we're done.
Right.
It's hard to do with blood all over the tags.
Yeah, and getting rid of the evidence, I think, is going to be important. All right, we got a lot to talk about, including another big celebrity real estate listing.
Ooh, oh, Dean, good news. At Dick's Sporting Goods, you can get a $269 Bear Archery Legion 370.
Oh, that's great. Hmm. It's great.
You can also go with the youth set for $29.99 if you feel more comfortable with that.
Is it, that's not the one with the rubber tips, though, right?
No.
The suction cups?
No. You want the actual sharp. Yeah, you want the death-defying metal, I'm sure.
The Bear Archery set, the one that's almost $300, looks like you could do some serious damage.
Yeah, and remember, when you fill out the expense report, just say, Steve said Paul Rennie said I could.
Oh, it's 22% off.
Oh, well, get it today, then.
It's a bargain. I put that under office supplies.
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, it is a business expense. Now, when you're audited and you sit down with the IRS and go, so you killed a guy, Mr. Richards. Is that accurate? I don't know that it'll affect or not affect your final outcome, you know, but...
I think that makes a more compelling argument of why it was a business expense.
No question.
Maybe you learned archery. Did you guys take archery in high school?
We did.
We had in gym class. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where you became such an expert, Dean.
The only time I can recall doing it was at a WASPY Boy Scout camp.
Yeah. Now, did you say a WASPY?
WASPY.
Oh, I see. So this is a Native American tribe. This isn't a bunch of WASP kids.
No. Well, this was. Well, there were a lot of WASPY kids there, but yes. That's neither here nor there. It's a WASPY Scout camp. And
did they have the hay bales with the target on the side of the hay bales?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. We shot into it.
You know, a few months ago, a bunch of us from the station went to a place called Chicago Archery and played archery tag.
See, this is catching on.
What is archery tag?
It was...
tag.
Yeah, it was...
You mean you shoot each other?
You're shooting at each other.
Yeah, with the paint, right?
No, not... It wasn't paint.
Was it bows and arrows?
It was bows and arrows, but they're like... Kind of plastic tip.
This might
tipped.
Be the worst idea I've ever heard.
No, yeah, but you the rubber hide plastic behind. Tip, though. Listen, you're not going to.
Oh, so Andrea scared. Went.
Andrea was so shooting at me the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you hide behind?
You hide behind these barriers and you kind of run out and then you shoot the other person with the bow and arrow.
You had nothing else to do that afternoon? That was what you thought would be a good idea?
It was a station function, Steve.
I think we should do that again. That'd be fun.
Didn't you also go at the axe tossing thing that went
on? I didn't go. No, I thought that was pointless.
Yes, it was. It was mostly an axe. Prince, Selena Gomez, John Bon Jovi, Kim Kardashian, Kiss, and Robert Redford, all in Dean's exciting list of things that we may or may not get to coming up on More on Entertainment. Stand by, my friend.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard.
Back to More on Entertainment. Dean, I don't want to start any trouble, but that promo that... Justin just read, I've heard that Joe Donlan's already voted 7-8 times. Is that true?
Well, you know, he's new to the Chicago area, so right. He's probably giddy with the freedom that we have to
That's
vote.
That's true.
Vote as many all times want. As you want.
Vote over again.
Sometimes when Lauren Majera is on set with them, she will do an Instagram story, and she'll say, this is what happens in between, you know, commercial breaks, and then she makes them kind of do something for the camera, and I've seen Joe try to chair dance, and it's unsuccessful.
That's not good.
No.
Joe is a bona fide breakdancer.
Yeah, he did it in the 80s, right? When it was like his own plywood that he carried around?
Apparently, but when he joined us at WGN a few months ago, 6 months ago maybe, it's been quite a while now, we had him on the TV morning show and laid down the cardboard for him, and he still has his breakdance moves.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Did he hurt himself?
No.
Well, I'll keep very tuning good into Lauren's Instagram story, and I'll see if he pulls that move out during a commercial break.
Yeah, he pulls that move out, pulls a muscle.
Great shape.
All right, so let's start with Prince. What's happening?
There is going to be a Prince documentary made by the award-winning producer, director, Ava DuVernay. She gave us the movie Selma. And a whole variety of other films, both nonfiction and documentaries. This is going to be made in cooperation with the Prince Estate. So they don't have a date. They don't have a title yet. But she's working on it. And with Ava DuVernay at the helm, it's probably going to be a pretty good project.
Speaking of Netflix, the Adam Sandler stand-up special is out. It's very dirty, but it's also very funny, if you're interested. And I wanted to play for you, Dean, one of the hit songs that are coming out of it. And all I could find is 16 seconds clean enough to put on the air. So here's a clip from Sandler.
Trees need my phone, wallet keys. If I'm going to the zoo, I need my phone, wallet keys. If I'm getting a face tattoo, I need my phone, wallet keys. If I'm going out to a wedding, if it's winter time and I'm sledding, if I'm at that daddy daughter dance, my phone, wallet keys are in my pants.
Phone, wallet keys.
Yeah.
There you go. It's That's Adam Sandler.
Entertaining and educational.
Haven't we all been there?
Yep.
Selena Gomez news.
She is no longer the queen of Instagram.
You know why? Because I joined last week.
For years, years, she has been the most followed person on Instagram, and she has been eclipsed.
By me.
Not by Steve.
What?
Not by Taylor Swift. Not by some other teeny bopper flash-in-the-pan star. She has been eclipsed by Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, sure. Soccer boy.
Soccer boy. 144 million followers on Instagram. Steve has 143.9 million. So he just missed.
Just missed by that much.
Selena Gomez is in a mental health treatment facility right now. So presumably she is not on Instagram.
Yeah, sending out less stuff.
Little break, I'm guessing, right now.
Jon Bon Jovi.
Jon Bon Jovi, not a fan of reality shows and really not a fan of Kim Kardashian. He said in an interview yesterday that he's not a fan of someone who is rich and famous just because they become rich and famous. That fame needs to be earned by being creative. And he points out Kim Kardashian in particular, essentially saying, what did we ever get from Kim Kardashian other than a sex tape?
He's not wrong, except for the fact that he's wrong. Because I've come to some measure of peace with this, because I don't like it any more than he does. I think you should earn fame the same way you earn a medical degree or a pilot's license or a plumbing certification. But that's not the way it works anymore. The fact of the matter is, you get famous because you're famous. Well, it doesn't take a particular amount of skill.
I mean, you know this, but keeping up with the Kardashians, that program's been on the air for, what, 11 years?
A lot of people watch.
And a lot of people watch, so it's hard to say that she didn't earn it. Maybe she had a leg up, like a lot of celebrities.
Two legs up, if you saw the video.
But maybe wrong choice of words. But the point being that since that time, they've done a lot of work that family.
There are people that put out sex videos that don't become internet, you know, stars and have products and things like that. So
look at this.
Just one.
Yeah.
It's not like she became president of the United States or something just for being a reality star.
Thank God that'll never happen.
Yeah.
Kiss back on tour?
Kiss announced that they're going to call it quits like so many others.
Right.
Elton John, who had his farewell concerts at the United Center this past weekend, but will be back here in February. and Paul Simon, Cher has had like 17 different farewell shows. Now Kiss has announced that they are calling it quits, and they announced the dates of their farewell tour. It'll be here in Chicago at the United Center next March the 2nd.
Okay, let me write that down. March the 2nd.
I don't know about all the rest of you. Steve and I have been in the Kiss Army fan club for years.
We do each other's makeup.
We do. And trim each other's back hair. And now, wow, enjoy your breakfast after that. For fan club members and City Card bank holders, tickets are going to go on sale tomorrow. General ticket sales. November 2nd at Live Nation.
And by the way, Citibank could never be more proud than they are right now of this association. All right, Celebrity Real Estate. I am looking at, and I don't know if this is the home you're listing, the estate of the late billionaire A. Gerald Parencio, who died in 2017. He was 86 years old. Dean, this is 100,000 square feet. How is that even possible? That's a mall. Anyway, it's selling in L.A. for $245 million. Is that the one you have?
That is not. I tried to get that listing, but that one went to Remax.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. I usually get a pretty good jump on many of these from my own Dean Richards Celebrity Real Estate Company.
Oh, I misspoke. 38,000 square feet.
Oh, well. That's,
so it's a tiny house.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wasn't really that interested in it. But right. I do have, I still have a honey of a deal for you.
What do you got?
Today.
Talk to me.
Steve, this is the St. Helena, California retreat of Robert Redford.
Oh.
You know, I only deal in celebrity real estate.
Man.
And this is in Napa Valley. This is a beautiful home. It is...
That's Bob Redford's place, as I call him?
Bobby Redford's 5,200 square foot retreat, 10-acre property. It's got a spa, lots of other amenities, lots of hiking trails.
Oh, this is my kind of house because it's a sprawling, like, California ranch.
It is totally a sprawling California ranch. Beautiful swimming pool. And this one, I could put you in this, honey, for $7.5 million.
Well, that doesn't seem too unfair. I mean, that's a good price to say you live in Redford's old house. I have $63 in cash right now in my wallet. Let me just say,
I'm not trying to, you know, up the price in any way. It's gated.
Dave, you got any money? It's gated.
I can keep anybody here out that you want.
Justin paid me back for the... For the Mega Millions ticket today, so that's $5. So I got like $33.
That's up to 96.
Getting there.
I have to thank my mother-in-law. She sent a Halloween card with money in it, $5 cash. Otherwise, I just Venmo it.
What are you, 10? Why is she sending you a card with money in it?
I think that's hilarious.
Dean, you left out that there's a hot tub and a vegetable garden.
Are those the same thing?
Unrelated.
$96. Samberg, you got any money you want to kick in on this?
I have no cash on me right now.
Hey, Steve, I went to get cash to pay Dave back. I have about $18.
Well, we're over 100. We're at $114.
I think that's a good deposit, at least.
Anyway. $114. Will you make the cash offer?
I am going to call Bob as soon as we get off here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call him and remind him that he's selling his house.
Yeah, they said they've decided to move because they're going to move to the Bay Area to be closer to the family.
Yeah. Yeah, understandable.
I wouldn't want to leave. I haven't looked at a picture of this place. I would not want to leave this place.
They did an interview with him on CBS Sunday Morning. I think it was there a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And walking the trails.
Yeah.
And I mean, if that's where it was.
I think that is. It's right by the Meadowood Resort. You're right, Dave.
Yeah, it was great. So I think we're all in.
$114, Dean. Let us know.
I'm just looking at a picture here of a bathtub that's right in front of a window. You could do your own Viagra commercials in this bathtub.
Well, I'm going to need another tub, aren't I?
Yeah. They have to be two tubs right next to each other.
You can hold the hands.
Yeah. Wait, was that Cialis, Viagra, or Levitra?
Yeah, one of them.
With the two tubs on a hill?
Right.
First off, who doesn't have two bathtubs outside on a hill? Come on. You wonder why the plumbing doesn't work anymore? Get inside.
All people do that when they get a little frisky. Honey, you want to go outside and sit in your own bathtub?
I never understood that. Thank you, Dean.
See ya.
8:30. We'll get to your headlines in just a second on 720 WGN. Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters. The original wing joint. Dave, I don't know if you know this, Hooters, it's not just a wing joint. It's a way of life.
Absolutely.
Coach Q on the phone. He's probably calling just to tell us what he's going to be for Halloween. Have you picked out a costume yet?
We got a big game tomorrow.
Oh, unfortunate. Otherwise, I know you'd be out there trick-or-treating.
Yeah, right.
So I was out there Sunday night, and the boys fought hard, and Edmonton, man, Edmonton's going to be good, Dave. They're going to be good. They got a lot of kids on that team that are going to be good. But we got a kid, this Henry Jokiharju, who takes on Connor McDavid, who's old for Henry. I thought he did a great job.
He was great against him. I thought, saw almost every shift he was out there, and it's probably, a different level of speed when you're talking about him. And I thought he had a tremendous gap against him. I thought he, contained him almost on every shift. And it was one of those games for a young player to be put in that situation where you get the matchup, shift in, shift out. He's out there. We're in the middle of 7 and 11 nights, and you're getting exposure to this type of situation. You handle it like you've been there more than once. So it was a
pretty cool.
It was a good sign, and I thought he did a great job. And I think that was one of the reasons why we kept him to one. But that was a big assignment, and he passed with flying colors.
So explain what a tremendous gap means.
I think you want to get the closest you can to the guy coming down on you. Mm-hmm. So you got to, you know, so he doesn't get, you almost got him close, almost you're controlling him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get too far apart, he's going to get, he's going to have more speed to get underneath him, and he's going to have more options to go on either side of you. But if you get close to him, you can slow him down. You can influence him with your stick. You can poke the puck away when he's getting it or when he has it. And you got way more influence on him. But you get a little bit back, you get flat-footed, he's coming at you with 100 miles an hour of speed.
And he knows which way he's going.
And he knows exactly. And he's got some guys only can go one way. But he's got that ability to change his direction at the last second. So that's why you want to make sure that giving him both options is what when he has the advantage.
Hawkopedia, Dave.
There you go.
Against
like
a bad
it.
Gap.
Hawkopedia, yeah. tremendous gap.
Tremendous gap. Joel, we're so used to seeing excellence from Patrick Kane for the past decade. Do you see any difference? Is it possible that he's even kicked it up a notch this year?
I think his speed, I think he's gotten a little bit quicker from last season to this season. I think he emphasized that in how he prepared over the summer, whether he's working on strength or he's working on his edges, his skates. But he's always trying to find ways where he can enhance his skill set. And but he is looking like he's getting a little bit cleaner looks, and where he puts the puck or that little extra quickness, getting him some freedom out there. And I think that he's getting some quality shots. He's thinking shot or shoot mentality. But he's gotten off to a good start, and I mean, he's a threat every single time he's on the ice, no matter who he's playing with.
And, you know, I'm the unofficial Cam Ward fan club president here. You look at his win-loss record, and you go, But I'm telling you, if you paid any attention this year, he hasn't got a lot of goal support when he's needed it. The guys up front maybe haven't helped him when they've needed it. I think he's played pretty well.
I think he's played very well. And one thing about after 12 games, you can say our goaltending's been real good to excellent, and you know, Cam's been in there every single game to give us a chance. And,
yep.
And again, you know, Sunday he had to make some key saves at some key times in that game. And in a 1-1 hockey game down at the end, he was as solid as you can get. And then Crow's done a great job as well. So it's I think they complement one another. They're good pros. They're you know, they support and push one another in a positive way, and give them a lot of credit,
Coach. The power play. You got your goal on Sunday on the power play, obviously a two-man advantage. But it's been an area that that obviously you want to see more from. How do you produce in a power play when it's not going your way?
Well, we want to have the puck, and I think we've lost some key face-offs, and then starting with it, and then you want to make sure off a lost try, you have some retrievals, and when it goes all the way down, you want to make sure you get a good entry, and then have some possession time, and then you want to have some looks, which you want to get right off of one draw, and then you have you want net presence, you want some different looks, you want to whether you're rolling off the half wing, most of the power plays are 1-3-1 setups.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think we can have better looks, and I think it all starts that it's kind of gets disruptive off our entries. In the past, we had much cleaner, neater entries, and we had more time to get things going when you can get the power play or the penalty killers tired, and by being in the zone and getting them moving around and running around, and then all of a sudden you're going to have what you're all looking for is to create some momentum in the game, and obviously chances lead to goals, and the quality goes up by having, you know, longer sustained zone time. And but we have the personnel to do it, and we feel that we're going to get a stretch where all of a sudden it's going, one of the power plays will get hot, and I think we're looking for a stretch like that soon.
Samberg.
Coach, so you were just talking about during the tremendous gap conversation that Joki Haru, he's one of those that can go both ways, and not all of them can. My stepson plays squirt level hockey, and one of my criticisms this year is that I think he should learn to try to go both ways, because he only goes right, and sometimes that takes him out of the way. You know,
look at you.
I know. Sure everyone wants my feedback on his play, but are you telling me that not all the players? I assumed by the time they got to your level that they were going both ways.
No, when we're talking about how they play, I mean, some guys can turn to their right better than they can to their left. And some players, when they're growing up, I think they, you know, they always skate in their way. As I can remember when our coach used to say, just don't keep skating around that one side to your right all the time. You got to go to your left, and you got to be able to do it both sides. And it easy as, and you'll eventually you'll have, you know, that consistency in your game. But I always find that when we're on defense, most defensemen can play the left side, and some, you know, can play the right. But not too many guys have that agility or ability to play left and right. And when you do that, I think it enhances your effectiveness to the team. And then last game was a good example, was Davidson came in and played the right side as being a left-handed defenseman.
It's easier for Coach Q to work with me because I can't go in either direction. headed for Vancouver, what are we watching for as fans against the Canucks?
They get this Peterson kid that's a hotshot rookie, along with Besser from last year, that these kids, you know, have gotten off to good starts to their careers offensively. They're their go-to guys, and they missed them for a few games, and they won a big game last night against Minnesota at home. So they play well at home. They played us extremely well last year. It's one of those teams that they think that the young guys are coming into their lineup, giving them a lot of life and excitement. Let's be ready for a hard game.
I know that your kids are a little old for trick-or-treating now, but back in the day when they were trick-or-treaters and they were little, you were able to talk them out of the good candy. Do you remember what candy you stole from them when they were trick-or-treating? Because I was a peanut butter cup guy.
Never minded M&M's.
That's it.
Peanut M&M's.
Yeah, that's not good. Bad. You look at your kids, you go, no, the peanut M&M's, no, they taste like vegetables. No, you don't want this. Have a great trip, Wes. Get another one, will you?
All right, gang.
Thank you. Thanks. Coach Q, Joel Quenneville, from your Chicago Blackhawks. He's the guy with the mustache.
That's him?
Yeah, that's him, the guy with the mustache behind the bench.
The sharply dressed guy with the mustache.
Yeah.
I like when you ask him to explain terminology to us. That's pretty good.
Well, I like to think I know hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Joel forgets every day more about hockey than I'll ever know.
Sure.
I mean, that's how you get to be the second most wins in the NHL. That and the fact that I don't skate, really.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So the president has sent 5,000-plus troops to our southern border to secure the border. Let me just do some quick math here for you. The group of about 4,000 migrants, and the number gets smaller every day because of the fatigue of walking and the natural attrition that would go on if people could stop somewhere before they get to our southern border. There maybe would be half of those folks by the time they get here. There may be way less than that. And the last time we had a, quote, caravan coming to the United States, there were 12 arrests. 12 arrests. However, 5,200 troops have been sent to, quote, harden the U.S.-Mexico border as 4,000 migrants have to travel the final 1,000 miles. At 20 miles a day, which is generous, 7 days a week, 20 miles a day, it would take 50 days to walk 1,000 miles, which would take this group to just before Christmas. So here's the thing. Election day is Tuesday.
Are you saying this is a stunt?
I think this could be an election stunt. I'm going way out on a limb here to say this is to get people fired up. And as a matter of fact, I'm telling you, I don't know Roger Ailes. I didn't know him before he died. But I think Roger Ailes would be absolutely ashamed of what Fox News is doing every single day, including yesterday, putting on guests, talking about how there is disease being brought by these people into the country, including and not limited to smallpox and leprosy. Smallpox was eradicated from the planet in 1980. It doesn't exist. Leprosy? Anybody got a Bible? It's been a while. So shame on Fox.
Yeah, and I think the this birthright thing, too, is part of that as well. I mean, just going to step back and think about that this morning. If this were actually the case in this country, if this were really the law, if, you know, this executive order stood, I think a lot of us would not be U.S. citizens. I mean, my grandparents came here. They were not citizens when my dad was born, so that wouldn't have made him a citizen. If he's not a citizen, how am I a citizen if I'm born here?
The other...
There's no chance. There's no chance an executive order can overturn a constitutional amendment. It's not going
to
happen.
What continues to baffle me is that the caravan is coming here to legally apply for asylum.
Which you can do at the border. You can present yourself at the border and apply for amnesty.
Exactly, and they're doing it because of violence in their home countries. And
very few people are granted it.
Absolutely, but the idea that there, I think that the political idea that there's this mass of humanity coming here and they're going to overrun borders. It's not true, but it's playing to a fear that they keep using the word invaders, and that is a very strong word, and it's a word that obviously is being bantied about in some circles.
And it's the invasion word is the same word the mail bomber used. The mail bomber and the president are using the same vocabulary. Yeah. Sandberg?
I was just going to say all of this is pretty successful because what are we talking about right now instead of the issues that matter in the midterm election, like health care and
That's the thing. You have to talk about it. You have to talk about it because he's the president of the United States. Wouldn't it be swell if he acted like it?
I heard a woman out with Ro and Anna yesterday talking about how the cost of this stunt.
Sending the military.
Is, on Thursday, you could pull them all back again after voting, and things. Mm-hmm. But that you've already paid for it then.
Yeah. And the thing is, I feel for these soldiers. These soldiers are going to go to the border and stand around. Now, I understand it's their job. They go where they're asked to go. But they're going to not a limited action situation, a no action situation to cover the border.
Yeah.
We have border agents already there to deal with anybody that tries to enter the country illegally. And the final point, and I hate to keep bringing facts into this, the final point is until last year, we had a negative net number of people coming into this country. In other words, Mexican folks in particular were leaving the country more than they were trying to get in. There was a slight uptick last year from the already down number. These are things I'm making up. These are facts.
And really, this is all about what the president is trying to win a midterm for his party so that he can promise these things after the election, meaning none of this stuff is going to happen before. It also goes along with the middle class tax cut that has been thrown out, ending birthright citizenship, which is just thrown out today, and of course what happens with this caravan. This is all in a way to get you to go to the ballot box on Tuesday, but the results will not be for years to come.
And the fact is, the main reason he would like to accomplish this is to control the House and the Senate so he can't be impeached. I shouldn't say can't be kicked out of office. He could be impeached. The House handles impeachment. Oh, and you thought we were done. No, it keeps getting tenser, more tenser. It's a minute before 9. CLTV joins us next. This is the Steve Cochran Show, and Steve Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on WGN Radio.
Let us turn our attention, gentlemen, to this week's contest, the Bears versus the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Bob, we feel that if the Bears can contain the Bulls' passing attack, it should be a surprisingly low-scoring affair.
So your pick?
Bears 31 to -7.
Yeah, really, negative -7.
George Stick, I'll find a way.
Bears, Bears.
That was actual analysis from Fox on Sunday. In case you haven't heard it lately, Adam Hogue's with us. Morning, Adam Hogue.
That's exactly how our Bears podcast sounds every week.
And where would we get that podcast?
WGNradio.com/Bears.
That's the Hogue and John's podcast. You and a guy named John?
That is correct. It's something like that.
And what are you writing on? What's the cover story?
Well, right now I think it's about the quarterback and the fact that your Chicago Bears are in first place, almost halfway through the season.
Mm. By the way, you can stump Hogue. And you thought I forgot? I have to ask Adam Hogue a question about something other than football. Anything on the planet other than football at 312-981-7200. Before we get to all this, though, what's your pumpkin status? You a pumpkin carver with your little guy?
I despise pumpkins because I just can't stand the animals eating them.
Mm-hmm. So you what do you tell your son? Pumpkins don't exist. it's just something that other kids see on TV. They don't really exist. Is that what you
tell? Exactly. We got the fake ones out front.
Oh, you do. Yeah, fake.
What's
pumpkins.
A fake pumpkin?
Plastic.
Well, it's like I think the ones my wife have, they're like ceramic, and they sit out front. We have decorations up. We got the spider webs on the bushes and things like that. It's not like we hate Halloween. I just hate the animals eating our pumpkins.
Mm. Why do I not have pumpkin
I don't know,
trouble?
Steve. I don't know. You're the only person who's never had your pumpkins devoured by squirrels. You know why?
They're always attacking the pumpkins.
You know why? Because I can talk to the squirrels.
That's probably it. They're afraid to come around.
That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like a dolphin.
No, that was a squirrel. Oh. It was a squirrel. A dolphin's
way different.
Well,
Adam, if you want to look at some of our listeners' pumpkins that they've carved, there's a photo gallery at WGNradio.com right there on the homepage, so you can check them out.
That sounds good. I haven't carved a pumpkin in a long time.
And you have to have your son put his hand in the gooey pumpkin. Yeah. He has to experience
that. It's a rite of passage.
Oh, he would love that.
Do it.
I'm sure.
It's a total rite of passage. Yeah. All right, Adam Hoge. So I said 21-9 on Friday. It turned out to be a 24-10 win. It wasn't a great game, but a win's a win. And you said they're still in first place. What's the mood at Halas Hall?
I think it's just maybe relief. I don't know if that's the most accurate word, but just to get back on the winning back winning after losing a couple games. This was a game that you had to win. Look, how do you think the Patriots are feeling about their win last night over the Bills? It wasn't pretty either, but good teams find ways to beat teams like that, which is what the Bears did. They didn't play a great first half. I thought the second half against the Jets the other day was really good. I thought Mitch Trubisky was the best player on the field in the second half and was really, really sharp after a shaky first half. And I feel like I repeat this every week, but honestly, every single game that goes by, Mitch and Matt Nagy are really getting on the same page more, and the quarterback is just in command of that offense and making better decisions each and every week. I think that's very important.
Well, it is important, but I would still say Patrick Mahomes straight up right now.
Oh, I don't know if the Chiefs are going to make that deal.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Hey, what's the deal with Kyle Long's tootsies?
So let me give you a little bit of what I think is good news.
Is this Footgate? Are they hiding something from us?
Footgate, yeah. Well, just the fact that 24 hours went by and they didn't rule him out for the season. Sometimes when you get those really catastrophic injuries, it doesn't take much to know that the guy's going to be out for the year. Reports start leaking out nationally. They're still doing testing. And just got the vibe yesterday from Matt Nagy. I mean, he was straight up asked if this could be a season ender. He said, "Oh, it could be, but I don't think so." So that was, given how it looked on Sunday, I think that was overall pretty positive news.
And the way he said it, because I listen to those press conferences because I love him, he's so convincing. I believe what he's saying.
You believe Nagy?
I believe Nagy. Yeah, that he really
has a way of how he talks. Yeah.
Now, he also said that he didn't think Adam Shaheen was going to go on IR back in August, and he's on IR right now.
So. Well, he also said Oswald didn't kill Kennedy, so I don't know what we are supposed to believe.
So, assuming that he's going to be out for at least a while,
yeah,
we saw a lot of James Daniels on Sunday. We know Eric Kush was out, but apparently he's going to be back. Where do they go now in the absence of Kyle Long?
Yeah, I think those are your two starting guards. The Bears also signed a guy named Brian Witzman a few weeks ago, and he started 13 games in Kansas City last year for Matt Nagy. So he's a guy probably most Bears fans have never heard of, but is also on the roster for depth purposes. So I think the good news is you were already rotating Eric Kush and James Daniels at guard. So if there was one spot on this offensive line, losing Kyle Long hurts. I'm not going to minimize that, but at least these two guys have been playing and they can play both sides. So it's just a matter of who's going to play left guard, who's going to play right guard, but those should be your two starting guards next week against the Bills.
Well, I guess here's the question. As you look at the Bills, after watching them last night. Well, I have two questions. How on earth?
You don't know that he's taking follow-ups. Are you taking follow-ups?
Yeah, he's taking follow-ups. Okay. He will take
I can do two-parters.
Thank you. I appreciate that. How did Buffalo go in and beat Minnesota the way they did? Not that Minnesota's in any great shakes or playing great right now. How do they even score? Because they've gone two games without a touchdown. And I realize, well, I mean, New England's not that great a defensive team right now. I mean, to me, this is one that looks a lot more appetizing for the Bears with or without Kyle Long than the Jets game did, even though it's on the road.
Yeah, I you know what? The one thing about the Bills is that they have a decent defense, and it is a game that's going to be played in Buffalo. Now, they're on a short week. If you watched all the way to the end last night, Derek Anderson got hurt right at the end of the game. Nathan Peterman had to come in, and he's been terrible as a pro. So we don't really know who the heck's going to start a quarterback for the Bills. I'm not sure it really matters. They're a mess offensively right now. By the way, their first-round pick, Tremaine Edmonds, on defense, also suffered a concussion last night. So the Bills are really banged up. It's definitely a game that the Bears should win. But I have a feeling just right now, still being Tuesday, that this might be one that looks more like the Cardinals game earlier in the year, where it's not easy. It's not going to be an easy win. I'd be surprised if the Bears blow them out just because the Bills' defense is pretty good and it is a road game. But it's certainly a game that the Bears have to go in there and win.
Adam, one of the stats that I think is being overlooked is the fact that the Chicago Bears' defense has not given up a rushing touchdown this late into the season, halfway through. Not only a Bears record, but I think we're getting close to an NFL record. This squad is impressive when it comes to stopping the run.
Yeah, and they were really, really good on Sunday all over the field, not just in terms of not giving up touchdowns. They were the Jets have a good running game. They put up a monster game on the ground against the Broncos, which have a good defense too, just a few weeks ago. And the Bears, without Khalil Mack, were just stifling, led by Akeem Hicks. And Eddie Goldman had maybe his best game of the season. Bilal Nichols continues to be a really good find as a rookie, a late-round draft pick for the Bears. So that I thought was a very positive development for the defense without Khalil Mack. Now you add Khalil Mack in there, I think he'll probably be back by Sunday.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. I know how Hamp feels about this because you only get 16 cracks at this. But honestly, do you need Khalil Mack against the Bills? Why don't you rest him?
I don't think you need him, as we probably saw against the Jets. When you're going up against an offense that isn't all that good, you probably don't need him. But
tell him to take the week off. Tell him to go to
vacation. We're paying him.
The Bears aren't the Golden State Warriors here. You can't just be sitting guys. If they're healthy, you play them. And I think he'll be healthy by Sunday.
And he did go to school in Buffalo, right? He might have a little incentive to show off.
If he snaps his foot off and his ankle,
don't come crying to Steve.
That's exactly right. Dave.
Well, all right. We look at that. Where do you see the biggest jump as far as the defensive backfield and the way they played on Sunday in this game? Because I thought there were some guys who did some really good things. Bryce Jackson Bryce Callahan being among them. Bryce Jackson plays for Northwestern, by the way.
Yes. Well, we confuse Saturdays and Sundays sometimes. Yeah. They all blend together. I agree. Callahan was outstanding. And he's a guy that has been good but hasn't always been healthy. So now you're starting to see him stack games together and be healthy every week, and you're seeing the total package. He's not only a guy who can cover, but you see Vic Fangio blitz him a little bit too. That was the only sack the Bears got on Sunday, was when Callahan blitzed. Mm-hmm. Look, I still want to see the secondary, though, make plays. All right, the penalty by Eddie Jackson was idiotic and extended that drive. That cannot happen in that situation. And then Kyle Fuller just... You got to intercept that football. He jumped too soon. It was a missed opportunity. And so those are the types of plays that are really separate good and great defenses. And there's been too much of that this season. Missed opportunities, not only in the secondary, but all over, but especially on the back end. So I still would like to see that kind of improvement going forward.
Got a guy named Glenn on the phone who'd like to stump Adam Hogue for fabulous prizes worth tens of dollars. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We are great. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I'm a
Hey, I got a question for you. Wait. I got a question for you. And thanks for doing what you do every day. But have you seen the pumpkin carving photo gallery yet? Have you seen it?
No, I have not. But I understand that your head is equal to most of the sizes of the pumpkins in the photo album.
How did this turn into mocking me? all right, Glenn, what's your question?
Well, I know that there's a lot of truck drivers who listen to you guys out there, so I'm throwing you a trucking question. What are the legal weights that I can have on the axles of my truck today?
Totally fair.
Yeah, that's
totally fair.
I'll give you a hint. It's 25 tons.
So go ahead, Adam. What are the legal weights that Glenn can have on his truck today?
5,000 tons.
5,000
really,
tons.
Really, really close. 5,000 tons.
What's the actual number, Glenn?
80,000 pounds is the maximum weight we can have on the truck.
Right. And 80,000 pounds is 400 tons, is that right?
It is 40.
40 tons.
Tons.
Oh, so just off.
You were close.
Adam Hogue has won nothing. You have to send $20 to Glenn, and we'll also give him prizes from our prize list. All right,
I'm
Glenn.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, buddy. Stay safe out there. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Stay safe.
I'm going to give Glenn a Make America Vote Again hat signed by Steve Cochran.
Good.
A certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree.
Ooh.
Come by Tree Time Christmas Creations.
That'd be an Adam Hoge tree.
On Pepper Road in Lake Barrington to pick out the team of your choice.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very nice. Adam Hoge, final thoughts before we go on Bills Bears.
Well, the $20 is in the mail, and how about this? You know, you bring up Patrick Mahomes. I don't know how serious you were about that straight-up trade.
Do you know take that twice.
Three I understand times. That. Mitch
I love
Trubisky.
That kid.
Do you know where Mitch Trubisky ranks right now among all quarterbacks in total QBR, which is a better rating than passer rating?
I would guess he ranks top five.
Whoa. Well, then why do you want to trade him?
Because I like Mahomes better. Because Mahomes delivers. Right. You know what? This isn't an analytics thing. This is a performance on the field thing. If this kid's going to continue to throw three or four touchdown passes a game, that's good enough for me.
Good. All right. He ranks seventh overall. I just want to put that in perspective. He is playing very, very well this season overall. He's a tenth of a point behind Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady's old.
Adam's trying to throw logic into your argument, which
these
is
kids
the
are their
problem
analytics.
Because there's no logic.
Sometimes, Dave, you know, as old guys, you got to look a guy in the eye and see what he's got.
Yeah, no question.
He's using fancy data, though.
Yeah, fancy data, fancy
because
analytics.
Because if you look just at the traditional passing, he's much lower.
Yeah. Well, he's not passing far very well.
Yeah. By the way, Adam will be with us on our broadcast Saturday, the biggest football game in this area this week.
No question about it. One of the biggest in the country. Is that the national TV game?
It is a national TV game.
Don't watch it on TV.
Of course not.
Listen to it on the radio on 720 WGN on Saturday at what time?
We're going to start out at Ryan Field at 3 o'clock from the end zone.
So we're milking this sucker as much as we can, huh?
We're going ahead. We want to be there, Steve. I don't think the term milking is really a problem.
Milking this sucker is not a thing. Okay.
Not apropos.
Of course we want to be there.
Of course we want to be there for every second of it. And then the pregame at 5:45 and the kick at 6:15.
Yeah. And because it's the Irish, Adam Hoge, we are giving away a leprechaun. So one leprechaun will be given away to one lucky fan.
That sounds kind of creepy, but okay.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
See you guys. They're you, actually. It's the Steve Cochran Show at 9:29. Danny Zucker's coming up. His book is called He Started It, My Twitter War with Donald Trump, which I think goes back almost 10 years.
I think 2013.
Really? Wasn't
longer
than that?
Yeah, it's 2013. It's their first tweet fight over TV ratings.
It's so, when you look at the tweet rant, it's so reminiscent of, it could have been yesterday.
Oh, yeah. His game hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed at all.
There are a lot of nicknames.
He's coming up, and Danny Zucker is one of the funniest guys in show business, so you can imagine how that went. Hey, stop tweeting me. By the way, you eventually blocked him, and he hasn't unblocked him, even though there's
Trump
a lawsuit.
Trump blocked
Zucker. Yeah. Anyway, he's coming up.
Did you write the book of love, and do you?
Yeah, some songs just stick to your brain. I know the lyrics for all 8.5 minutes of this. You're going to sing it or are you good? You're good? You don't need me to sing the entire thing right now?
I think I know him too.
I know him.
I'd like to hear you sing it all.
Here's why I'm bringing up Don McLean and American Pie. If you are single, learn how to play guitar. Don McLean is 73 years old. It was announced yesterday he's dating a successful model. That's supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
But dating a successful model. She's 24.
Wow.
He's 73. She's 24.
That's only a 49-year difference.
And aside from going out to dinner and dozing off into your soup, you get up to go to the bathroom and the waiter comes over and goes, here's the check, or is your grandfather paying? You know, once you get by that...
Oh, boy, I'm drinking whiskey.
That's one of the great songs of all time, though. All right, we're going to get the headlines. Steve, you ready to do that?
I'm ready.
All right, here are your headlines in 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
This, of course, is the love theme from Modern Family. Danny Zucker set to join us in just a second about his new book. Hey, he started it. Keystarter is out. It's available everywhere. And as I always say, get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one. Actually, get four or five of these. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning. Yes, a four or five is a perfect amount to get, I find.
You know, I love what you do. I love your work. I love you. And I mean that in a manly way.
It's so sudden. Thank you.
But there's a part of me that goes, is this whole Trump Twitter thing your fault? Because you were on this before any of us.
Well, I like to think I exposed it first and people just didn't listen.
Let's go with that. Let's go with that. That's a better call.
He was a mere reality star, failing reality star, I'll point out, that everybody mocked openly. And then something happened, and I still can't quite put my finger on it, but seems like 30% of us took him seriously, and then we were off to the races.
Where were you election night, 2016?
This is an interesting story. So because I got in this Twitter war, I became something of a folk hero in Mexico. I would speak down there, and they would give me Trump pinatas to break on stage. And so I was invited down to Mexico City. There were a bunch of young journalists and bloggers and radio people, and we were going to celebrate Trump's loss. So they had a giant cake with a wall down the middle, and as soon as it was announced, they're going to break down the wall. And boy, did that night not turn out to be a happy one. we never quite got to that cake. It was a shock for sure.
By the way, I haven't mentioned yet. The book is called "He Started It." Get five copies, and we want to talk to about Modern Family, but we got more on this in a second, Justin.
Yeah, this is really about your Twitter war with Donald Trump before he was president in 2013. How did this start? This was about TV ratings.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I was reading through this, like, I had done a live reading of this Twitter war for Puerto Rico Relief Charity on the anniversary of the election in November, and a friend of mine was in the audience, Paul Slansky, who I co-wrote the book with, and he thought this should be a book. And what we noticed as we were going through these old tweets with a little perspective was it was really a beta test. So I had tweeted terrible things to him in the past, for sure, because he's a terrible person. But he never responded. It was only when he tweeted "Celebrity Apprentice, number one show of the night," and then I tweeted back, posting the easily checkable fact, "Cool story. Here's what actually happened," and showing him finishing fourth in the time slot, last in the time slot, and we were off to the races. But if you think about it, his first act as president was to send Sean Spicer out there to tell people he had the biggest inauguration crowd in history.
It's just so wrong.
It's a pattern, yeah.
What's been important to him hasn't changed.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, if you're measuring, he absolutely has small hands.
Yes, for sure.
this book details all the tweets you would ever need to know. How many years of trolling is this now?
Well, I mean, I've been trolling him since then. He, after a couple hundred tweets and several months, he did what every brave, tough American would do, and he blocked me. It was funny, after he blocked me, about a year later, on April 1st, I posted a tweet that said, "I miss us," by the way, with the date April 1st. And then he said, "I miss you too!" !! So he had been checking in even though he had blocked me. And that's the level of his neediness. The fact that I had even was able to tell him that I thought he was great, he immediately came back, which is why I say in the book, if I were to do a 180 and publicly pronounce him like, "Hey, you know what? I was wrong. You've been a great president," I would be Secretary of State. I'm sure of it.
Have you physically met him?
No, I haven't physically met him. I think that would be a terrifying thing. Not because I'm afraid of him, just to be that close to someone that's sick.
The reason I bring it up is because I've interviewed him many times and I've met him, but I also played three holes of golf with him. There was a thing out in L.A. where you played three holes. Six different groups played three holes of golf with him. And a golf course reveals who you are as a person. He's exactly the same guy. He's exactly the same guy, just to add a little profanity.
I have no doubt. A friend of mine went to play on one of his golf courses just over the Hudson River in New Jersey. And he was telling me that there's a plaque there, I think on the eighth hole, where he got a hole in one. Of course, no one was there to see the hole in one. And then when pressed, he said he got it alone at night.
When you play golf at night.
Yes.
I know one of the things you point out in your book, Danny, in your tweets, your conversations with him, is that you don't take credit for taking him down because you said any fifth grader could have done so.
Yeah.
And that he has the most limited vocabulary and the misuse of words, really, in all of your interactions.
Yeah, I got lucky. I mean, people were like high-fiving me. And I sort of felt guilty because I was not going up against one of the great minds. It wasn't really like a battle. I'd be surprised if every single listener you have for your show this morning would not have been able to dispatch him fairly easily.
Going forward with this, you've got a nice life.
Yes.
You've won 5 Emmys. You've got lots to do. You got lots to do. You're a busy guy. Do you find yourself getting up in the morning and checking his Twitter feed first just to see how frickin' annoying he is today?
You know, I've had to stop a little bit. Like, I feel like if he has tweeted something terrible, I'll hear about it. I find just for my own mental health that I have to, I definitely dip in every day, but I couldn't dip in all the time. It would just make me too crazy. I try and go outside, take a walk.
I just tell people all the time, it's not okay. That's it. That's the summation. It's not okay. It applies to everything in his life.
Apparently, it's also dangerous to talk the way he talks.
Without doubt. All right, we got to ask a couple Modern Family questions.
Please, well, that's along the lines of it not being okay and dangerous. That's why Danny put the book out, because it's to encourage people to go vote.
Yeah, great point.
Money is going to charity.
Money's going to charity. I don't make a penny on this. I want people to vote, and please vote. Please, please. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. Now, Sandberg, you have never missed a Modern Family episode. You've watched many of them multiple times. What do you want to ask?
That's true. 10 seasons now. Very exciting. Even our Netflix accounts at home, Danny, it's my husband. Yes. My husband is very much like Phil, so his name on our Netflix account is Phil.
Even though his real name is Pat?
Even though his name is Pat, yeah, but our kids call him Phil, so it's a big part of our lives. Is there a character that you set out originally that wasn't going to be a focus, or you thought would be the focus, and then now 10 years later, it's different than how you had pictured it?
Well, I have to. So the two guys who created the show, Steve Levitan and Chris Lloyd, and they also cast the show. I came in for the first episode after that. But they did such an amazing job. I think, especially amongst our main characters, they were all fully realized. Now, I think that the Dylan character of her boyfriend who appears in the pilot, I think they had thought he might be a one-off, and now
the fact that Dylan is back, I know. I love Haley, so we're big fans of that relationship.
Oh, good, good. He's super fun to write.
Who is your favorite character? I'm not saying favorite person, but who's the character you love most on the show? Because I'm telling you, Phil is one of the great TV characters of all time.
Yeah, this is going to sound so Pollyanna. I really do love them all. I mean, there are certain ones that when I get into the rhythm of writing them, it's fun. I quite like writing Mitchell, Jesse Taylor, for the reason, because he does such small, funny things. I mean, we have some characters in there who are bigger than life, and I would say Phil, Cam, Gloria. But I do love Mitchell's asides that are really quiet, or the things that people tend to notice, I find, on a second viewing, oh my God, I just said that.
Said, I ate Chinese food last night, so I'm puffy. And I know it was like a minor line, but it made, we all feel that way, so it was extra funny.
Yeah, but that's good puffy.
That's super fun.
That's the good puffy. Yeah. That's the important thing to remember. If you're going to be puffy, that's the good puffy. Listen, man, keep up the great work. Keep protecting America for the good of all of us. Go out and get the book. He started it. And follow Danny Zucker on
Amazon.
And Amazon everywhere. You can get a book. Steal it from a friend and then buy a copy because you feel guilty.
Fantastic advice.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. And add Danny Zucker on Twitter as well. He's a great follow. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
See you later. He's a funny dude, man.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Coming up on 9:57, you don't plug anything for the rest of the week, Sandberg? What's coming up on this show? I should make a note of this.
Halloween. Yeah, Halloween. We're going to be in costume tomorrow. And something.
So people should watch on the stream?
Yeah, they tune at 6 a.m. They can find out what we're going to be. And
that'd be great. I'd like to know.
There's
yeah,
something,
me too.
We have
and
a
by 6:01, we'll be rid of the costumes.
We have a couple of guests in studio that make being in costume very funny. John Curran. And Governor Rauner and his wife Diana will be in, and so
are they like, coming in together?
Yeah, so you're going to be. In
what your, are they going to be dressed as?
I'm not sure, but you're going to be in your costume mm-hmm. while interviewing these people. So I find that to be very amusing.
There you go. It's going to be a hot look for me, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
And we're also talking to Jamal Mayers tomorrow, 9:40.
Talking about the Hawks in Vancouver tomorrow night, amongst other things, and of course the continuing scandal of this being the only show that's forced to dress up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to find out what we have to wear like underneath these costumes.
So Mary Stephanie told me she's picking up the costumes at 11 and then she's going to photograph the costumes and send them to us so we know how to prepare.
Seems like a good use of her time today. Let's come back with Bill and Wendy next at 720 WGN and Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Hello, Wendy. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Steve.
How are you today?
Couldn't be better. How about yourself?
You could be better.
I could be better. But
really?
For the sake of this argument, I could not be better.
Yeah, you're excited about our upcoming guest today.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Now, normally when I ask you guys if you were, what are you doing today, you'll say, Wendy will say, stuff.
Yeah.
And the way you say stuff is sort of like, it's none of your business, man.
Yeah.
But today you're going to share?
Robert Klein.
Oh, cool.
Come on, really?
I love him.
It's a great. That's love tremendous.
Him. Love him.
Yeah, he's tremendous. And he'll he's a good guest. Have you ever had him on?
Never.
He's a really good guest. You'll
time.
Like him. Oh,
I
God,
can't
I hope
wait.
He doesn't suck now.
We don't have a lot of time with him, so, you know.
So you'd like me to keep talking?
No.
He's given us 15 minutes of his time, which is, you know.
So it'll go well.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Bill will gush the whole 15
the whole
minutes.
15.
You're
going
to have to keep the gush to a minimum.
Want to hear my first question, Robert
yeah.
Klein?
See you tomorrow.